Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's the man Talkers Magazine says is one of the most important talk show hosts in America.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
He's Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today, Mr. Wonderful, at your service. Always a pleasure to be part of your day, and I know it's like a dream come true for you to be part of mine. I'm continuing to broadcast live from New Orleans. I got to the rest of this show, and tomorrow I'll be down here again tomorrow as I continue to broadcast from New Orleans, checking things out down here and doing a little work with the SBA. It's a very interesting place. Let me tell you about our guest coming up straight ahead. Actually, she's with us now. Jennifer Hawthorne is a member of our Brain Trust. She's a best-selling author of Chicken Soup for the Women's Soul and the Soul of Success. And she's here to talk to us about that concept called workaholism. Jennifer, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Jim. And you didn't tell me you were in my old neighborhood.
I
was born and raised in Baton Rouge.
I forgot about that.
And New Orleans is practically a second home for me.
I recognize the accent, and I'd forgotten about that. Yeah, it's tough down here, Jennifer.
Oh gosh, I've heard that. My sister went down to Jazz Fest this year, and it was a mixed experience, to be sure.
Well, I spent 4 hours out in the neighborhoods, driving around in the neighborhoods yesterday, just to see what it looks like, and it's I'm not going to say it's like Apocalypse Now, but it's close. I saw maybe 1 out of 10 homes could ever be inhabited again as they stand.
Oh my gosh! Well, Jim,
I didn't see a lot of people. I mean, there are some people, but not a lot. I only saw children one time at a school, at one school. Mm. One county, one parish has no hospital capability, and it's just. It's just real tough. I'm going to say less than, and out in the neighborhoods, out in the commercial districts, you know, where they have the strip centers and things like that, I'm going to say that there were maybe less than 1% of the businesses back online.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm glad that you're there.
There are no customers. Well, we came down to see what's going on. I'm down here working with the SBA. Of course, they're very much involved down here. Jennifer, one of the things I know you want to talk about today is the concept of workaholism. Now, why is that on your mind today?
Well, I'll tell you, Jim, at the beginning of this year, I would say sort of in December, I came to a natural completion with projects that I'd been working on for about a 3-year period. During that period, I had written or created and published 2 books and then been doing a tremendous amount of promotion of those 2 books during that time. And you and I talked a number of times last year, actually, about the Soul of Success and experiences that I'd had around that. That book came out in January of last year. Well, during that year, you know, I put up websites and just did everything I could to promote my work. And by the end of the year, when things started coming to a natural completion, I started recognizing the toll that the way I had been operating had taken on me.
It slipped up on you, didn't it?
Well, in a way it had. I had been told before by a wonderful counselor that I have worked with from time to time throughout the years, a man that I just really regard as, you know, one of the most important people on my life support team, you know, that I had this tendency, and I had even had it pointed out that it was quite serious. But what as happens so often in the world of addiction, you know, whether it's a substance addiction like alcoholism or a process addiction like workaholism is, I really did not want to hear that. I didn't want to believe it about myself, and I really didn't want to think that I was hurting my health and my relationships as a result of it. So denial, which is so often the case with addictions, was really, really present for me.
It's not just a river in Egypt, is it?
Oh, boy. It is definitely not just a river in Egypt. It is such a real thing.
You know, I've had people accuse me of being a workaholic before.
Really?
Yeah, and I denied it, and I'll tell you why. And I know that maybe it appeared that way to other people, to some other people, but these were just casual observers. These weren't actually people all that close to me. But to me, workaholism is when you forsake everything else in favor of your work. I mean, your health, your mental health, your soul, your family, your friends, your own well-being, however you want to define that. You forsake almost all those things for your work. Now, to me, that's what workaholism is. And when we come back after these messages, I'm going to tell you how I define it a little bit differently for myself, and you can tell me whether I'm just in denial or not. Stand by. Jennifer Hawthorne and I will be right back, folks. We got to take a quick break. Here's Van Morrison to take us out. Stay with us.
You know, I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. Your love give me such a thrill, but your love don't pay my bills. I need that's what I want.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you check it out when you get a chance. And don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter when you get there. And that comes on Sunday by email every week. And also the blog, which we update every Monday through Friday. And lots of other things there. I hope you will use it to your advantage. Everything is free there, including all the interviews that Jennifer Hawthorne and I have conducted over the years that she's been a member of our Brain Trust, and you can go back and listen to some of the things we've said. Jennifer, by the way, the books, by the way, focus Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul and The Soul of Success. Tell us where those are available.
You should be able to get those at any bookstore. You can certainly order them from Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com quite easily, or call me if you want to. If you want an autographed copy, you can absolutely call me and I'll be
happy
to take care of
that. That's what you want. Give us your website, Jennifer.
The website is jenniferhawthorne.com.
All right. And that's two N's and one F.
That's right. And the Hawthorne has an E at the end of it.
They can find your books there and they can request. Can they email you and request an autographed copy there?
They can call me on my toll-free number.
Okay.
877-357-6446.
All right, sounds good. Jennifer, we're talking about workaholism, and I was talking about my definition of workaholism. And what I wanted people to know was, when the people accused me of being a workaholic, was that, number one, I love what I do. You know, some people would say to me, Jim, stop and smell the roses. And I said, let me tell you something. You define your roses the way you want to, and I'll define my roses the way I want to. Because my roses were my business, and I was enjoying what I was doing. But I didn't feel like I was forsaking my well-being because I was working a lot, doing a lot of work. Now, what do you think about that?
Well, let me just extend that. What about your family and other things? I mean, it's great to not forsake your well-being, but when I go to what I consider to be the best resource about workaholism, which is the website Workaholics Anonymous, they have a page there called 20 Questions, How Do I Know If I'm a Workaholic? And the first question, Jim, you've really just the head, it's, do you get more excited about your work than about family or anything else?
Mm-hmm.
And very close connected to that, of course, are the questions, the obvious one, do you work more than 40 hours a week? But also, do you believe that it is okay to work long hours if you love what you are doing? So mm-hmm. It sounds to me like you have a pretty good handle on things when you say that you don't neglect your well-being. And I know that, man, and I know that you live where you live because you're close to your grandkids, and it sounds to me as though you're really living a life that is in balance there, that you're forsaking your family and everything else.
The beautiful thing about being in business today, Jennifer, is that technology helps us to move our work around our families.
Yes.
In other words, I can be at a ball game if I need to. When my children, and it was that way when my children were little to some degree. But the problem is you get the idea that you're trying to provide for your family so much that you forsake your family. You don't give them the most important thing that they want, and that's you.
That's right. That's so true. And Jim, you know, I want to point out something that just completely blows me away. It's a statistic from the Bureau of Labor Statistics that says that Americans, on the average, work about 49 hours a week, and that this is, listen to this, 350 hours a year more than most Europeans do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Expedia.com, you know, the travel site online, found that about 12% of American workers took no vacation because they were busy working.
Mm-hmm.
And see, to me, that's an indication of someone who doesn't understand the concept of balance. Who knows what the motivation may be? It may be that you're really feeling that having more money is going to solve other problems in your life. But the point is that if you're not resting your physiology, your mind, body, and spirit, you know, through a vacation, then it's you probably don't have much of a leg to stand on. You probably really do have a tendency toward the workaholism, which, by the way, we know to be a deadly disease.
I agree with that. And I will tell you, though, you know, I believe that we were put on the earth to be productive, not to take vacations.
I agree. I like
vacations too, but I do believe we're put on earth to be productive. Americans are more productive than any other humans on the planet. And I consider that to be a badge of honor for us. But if you're, in my opinion, here's my own little set of markers for if you're a workaholic. If you're missing your children's events,
mm-hmm.
working, then you're a workaholic.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not eating well, if you're eating exercising at all, and it's obviously you're seeing physical signs of problems with physically and physiologically, and it's because of your work, then yeah, you got a problem. If you're having trouble with the relationships, if you don't have any friends or whatever, I mean, those are all markers of to me of being a workaholic. And and I agree with you. I think it's something to that folks should really pay attention to, and small business owners especially, especially in the early years when we're getting our businesses off the ground. It's really hard to balance that.
That's
because
right.
We're so close to failure. Quick break. We're going to be right back with Jennifer Hawthorne right after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. It's 10 Till. Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from New Orleans, Louisiana. Be here one more day. I got one more day of broadcasting tomorrow from New Orleans. Jennifer Hawthorne is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Jennifer is the author of Chicken Soup for the Women's Soul and The Soul of Success, both books, by the way, best-selling books, I might say, and they're available wherever books are sold and at her website, and that's Jennifer Hawthorne with an E on the end, .com, right?
That's right.
All right. Jennifer, a mentor of mine gave me three words once on a different topic. We weren't talking about workaholism. We were talking about some other things. But I was trying to ask him how would I know when this or that was right, whatever the topic was we were talking about. Mm-hmm. And he said this to me. He said, check your position. I'll never forget that as long as I live. And I do that all the time. And what he meant was stop where you are and look around you and see how you're aligned with the world and mm-hmm. how the world is aligned with you. Now, the world could be your coworkers. Mm-hmm. It could be your work. It could be your customers. It could be your family members. It could be your friends. It could be nature. It could be your body. It could be your heart, your blood pressure, whatever. But that's the way I've taken his advice. Check your position. And to me, if you want to find out if you're a workaholic, and if you are, if it's taking a toll
mm-hmm.
on you, check your position. What do you think?
I love that. Oh, I just think that's fantastic. But, Jim, you know, you and I were talking during the break about the absolute necessity of being honest when you check right. your position.
Exactly.
And that's one of the problems that we workaholics have. You know, we don't want to be honest. I was saying to you that, you know, during that three-year period I was talking about at the beginning of the show, I was not honest with myself. I used the word passion in terms of my work as an excuse and a justification mm-hmm. for overworking, and it really did take its toll on my body and on my marriage as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so grateful that these last 8 months, where I've really, really cut back on my work schedule, have given me a chance to really feel what it's like to not constantly be overscheduling and moving at the pace of lightning and saying, oh, yes, I feel passionate about this, and therefore I'm not really a workaholic, because that was not true for me.
Here's how this manifests for small business, Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
We work so hard in the beginning creating something from nothing that we have to work hard. We have to be a workaholic for a period of time. That's just sort of one of those things that's a part of the natural law of small business. So we work all this extra hard to make it happen. And then guess what? It starts to happen. And customers come in, and customers call us, and so we're saying, wait a minute, this is what I've been working for, is to have,
right.
have people call me. This is great. This is wonderful. So we go right from being a workaholic to make something happen that doesn't exist to fulfilling the reality of what you worked hard to create.
Yes, and it can be a trap, can't it?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And so that's when you find out. That's when you have to check your position. And here's one other thing you got to do. You got to find out how to delegate. That's a biggie, isn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Because I tell you, workaholics especially have a tendency toward perfectionism. And so we have a strong tendency to think that nobody else can do it as well as we can.
That's exactly right. And the main reason is because, remember, we created something from nothing. If no one's ever done this, if I discovered it, how can anybody else do it?
Right.
We get that in our heads, and it's a tough lesson to learn. And I have to be honest with you, I still deny that I'm a workaholic, although you know the evidence may prove otherwise, Jennifer. But I do say that I do believe though that delegating has been something that's been hard for me to do. That's one of the things I've had to work really hard on is delegating.
And are you doing better with it?
I'm afraid you'll have to ask some of the other folks in my office about that. I'm afraid I might not be the best person to ask about that. But
I understand.
But that's what you got to do when you check your position. Checking your position doesn't mean you have all the answers. You got to ask other folks, the folks around you.
Right. And you know, Jim, from what I've read about workaholism, you know, they say that the goal is just to strive for balance, you know, that which is that elusive state of being, you know, that
right.
I talk about all the time, and which The Soul of Success, mm-hmm. my last book, was really about. And they say that while there's nothing wrong with pushing yourself to meet a deadline, that we just have to learn to appreciate the downtime also.
Mm-hmm.
And they sort of recommend that we work to live, not live to work so much.
Well said. Jennifer, I got to wrap it up. Thank you for being here. Good job today. Great words of wisdom today. Thank you for that.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim.
Jennifer Hawthorne, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be back, I promise. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you tomorrow, broadcasting again from New Orleans. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.